This episode of The Loop is presented by the original Cubana electronic cigar. We've been hearing about these changes potentially coming to the iconic 13th hole for years. I mean, maybe decades. And they are finally happening.
I think they're extending the tee box by about 50 yards. It looks like it's way back there.
All right, welcome back to The Loop. I'm Alex Myers. As always, I'm joined by Steve Hennessy, Christopher Powers. Wow, it was actually a pretty surprisingly busy, I'd say, week in golf, considering we're in late November now. Got a couple big season-ending events with Jon Rahm winning in Dubai, Lydia Ko winning down in Florida. Obviously, Rory McIlroy somehow snaking another season-long title. Guys, let's start with that. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, people kill the FedEx Cup all the time. But at least the person who wins the FedEx Cup, it's like you get that they won. Rory McIlroy won the race to Dubai, which is the equivalent of the FedEx Cup on the DP World Tour. He didn't win an event the entire season on the DP World Tour. So I don't know how it's possible. Meanwhile, Rahm won that event for a third time in 4 years. He won the Spanish Open. He won another event. Anyway, I don't know. For me, that's weird. I just don't get that Rory somehow wins that. I know it's a points thing, but that just seemed weird to me. Anybody else, or am I crazy?
It's just one of those things that no one really cares that much about.
I guess so.
Nobody wants, you know, it's not sexy to pile on. People like to pile on,
right?
The stuff that everyone, all the parrots are piling on about, and no one's really paying attention to the old race to Dubai, I guess.
Yeah, the poor DP World Tour. You know, it's like
you don't I bet they pick. Want people to pile on it for a little.
Yeah, that's true. Any publicity, good publicity. Yeah, I'm with you, Myers. It's weird, but like, you know, Rory had an insane year, so it also kind of makes sense. I guess he's getting a bunch of points for all those top tens at the majors, so kind of checks out.
Yeah, I guess so. I know. You're right. And it's not cool to pile on DP World Tour. It is FedEx. I mean, that's all in good fun, but it makes sense. But it was this weird because it was the second thing, because Rahm also rightly pointed out the world golf ranking system, how, you know, there were zero top 20 guys playing at RSM and there were seven top 20 guys playing in Dubai. And the winner of RSM, Adam Svensson, got 37 points. And Jon Rahm, and again, Rahm said this before he won.
Right.
He called it laughable. Rahm got 21 points, and they got 37 points. And look at the leaderboard that Rahm beat. I mean, it was Rory McIlroy, it was Tyrrell Hatton, I mean, it was Fitzpatrick. I mean, you know, again, I know it's just one of those things, I guess, that it's selective outrage because not enough people care about it. But I think at some point that does have to be changed. And it was weird. But
well, anyway. it did make me think about what one of our guests recently said, Patrick Harrington, who kind of knows what he's talking about, and just how, you know, the bigger the field, the kind of harder it is to win. There's more guys that have an opportunity to win. So I don't know, Jon Rahm.
No, I think
listen to our interview with Patrick Harrington, but I thought Patrick made a pretty good point.
No, they made these changes in the summer, and I think overall, like, they had the right reasoning. So I can't knock it that bad, but obviously this week, maybe it was just an outlier that something like this could happen. But yeah, no, I agree. Like, a typical tour event with 156 guys is obviously harder to win than even like probably a select event with 30 guys. But there has to be a way to figure out a middle ground here, because this field was stacked.
It was stacked. And yeah. I think Rory was in on the panel of the world ranking.
He was.
Too. So that's like the other interesting part of it too.
And he keeps winning these awards, man. Rory, by the way,
making his own rules.
He's making an ATM machine.
Rory McIlroy. He's up to about 45 million in earnings this year, by the way, Rory.
Wow.
I do want to mention, because I don't, you know, we got to give Lydia Ko some props here. She wins season ending CME Group Tour Championship. She wins the Player of the Year. She wins the scoring, you know, season average there, the Bear Trophy. She won a $2 million check. It's pretty good. That's good to see. Now, the guy who gave out the $2 million check was ticked because these 11 golfers apparently had RSVP'd to this Tuesday night dinner that CME was putting on, CME Group. And apparently he said he wanted to, like, give them a shout out, and they, like, put the lights on and none of them were there. And the guy was pissed.
It's like the Golf Digest office on the
Tuesday. It is. I'm the only one here. It's me, Sam, and Tanya, and
Thanks everyone for the hard work this year, especially Chris Powers, Steve Hennessy. Stand up.
Everyone wants to be in the conference room for free donuts. No donuts there.
Yeah, well now.
Yeah, I don't get it for I don't. I probably shouldn't even say what I'm about to say.
Don't please, say it,
please.
All right.
Don't for a tour, who you know.
Yeah, they're desperate.
They're desperate for recognition and attention. And here's this guy looking to give you every bit of it to no show. It's a tough look. I think that's a fair take.
Yeah, and not for nothing. Like, the CME Group puts up so much money in terms of purses, sponsorships for the entire season. Yeah, it will not be this case next year. The commissioner of the LPGA Tour came out and said it's on her.
Yeah, she did.
I feel like, you know, and I get it from a tour player's perspective too. Like, you have so many obligations week in and week out. So, you know, these players just figured this was another pro-am party. You know, this is a big week. I'm going to skip it, get some extra rest. But also, this is the biggest sponsor that the tour has. So if you're going to show up to one, this better be the one.
Yeah, so this is Terry Duffy. And by the way, then a few days later, he's the one who literally is handing out the $2 million check, a record in women's golf, to Lydia Ko, and yet no one showed up to this event. There was a little wrinkle here. Apparently, Serena Williams was supposed to be the speaker, and then she backed out, and that's why all these people didn't come. Still, though, Steve, you know the game. CP, these guys, the men's side too, they do a lot of corporate gigs. They got to shake hands. They got to make appearances.
Got to do it.
It's just part of the gig. Yep. And like you said, CP, especially for the LPGA Tour, which is trying to grow and, you know, get the respect and that it deserves. And you finally get a huge paycheck and prize money, and then people don't show up and support.
And a great winner that, you know, people do great know winner. And root for and. Tough one there.
Yeah. Lydia Ko's crazy, by the way. She's 25 years old. She has 19 wins, and there was like a 5-year span where she won one time.
Right. Yep.
So you take out those 5 years, it's like it's crazy. And she even said her mom jokes with her that she was better when she was 15 years old. And like, the mom might be right. I mean, that's how good she was. I mean, she was winning. She's been winning for over a decade, and she's still only 25.
Weren't we all better at a lot of things when we were 15?
That's true. That's a good point. Good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I could definitely get away with eating more. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, again, I'm in the office just pigging out. I mean, just, whew.
Hey.
Free food. Someone's gotta eat the snack.
Sam's supposed to buy me lunch, and now he just said he's got a meeting at 1:30, so I don't know what I'm going to do. Anyway, I was trying to get a free lunch out of this at least, but there's no such thing as a free lunch, as we know. So speaking of Sam, and speaking of taking responsibility like the LPGA commissioner did, I had to drag Sam a little for the Sites Cup, the annual.
Way more important.
Slightly more important. CP was on the winning side here. He was on the young squad, and shout out to their captain, Will Fullerton, a fellow Wake guy, very sharp, might add. He found it's not a loophole, but apparently last year at Hudson National, no big deal, where we had the Sites Cup, and now we have Mountain Ridge this year. So the venues are just incredible. Probably better venues than the Solheim Cup, right, Steve? I mean, maybe, I don't know.
Inverness is pretty good, too.
You know, Inverness was sick. That's true. Anyway, they use this weird formula. The USGA clearly says in two-man scrambles or two people scrambles that it's 35% low handicap, 15% high handicap. And it seems weird, but then when you start figuring it out, you understand why, because you don't use the high handicap shots that much. So you shouldn't get like a lot of credit for having a high handicap on your team, if that makes sense. But for some reason at Hudson National, they did this 80% thing last year. And the old team steamrolled the young guys. And Will Fullerton picked up on this. And so this year he came back. He figured it out that, A, that doesn't make any sense. But, B, he then broke up all his high handicappers. And he just would stick high handicappers with low handicappers. And so they were like low handicappers getting tons of shots. And you guys destroyed us. And so I put the blame on him.
Paul Azinger, yeah. Strokes of genius.
He's Paul Azinger, and Sam is Hal Sutton. Faldo, Hal Sutton, just getting ripped to shreds.
Yeah, I knew something was up when we had five shots on the back nine, and we were already like three up when I ended up realizing this. I was like, yeah, something's off here. And Greg, just our producer Greg here, 28 handicap, 100% of 28 handicap. He happened to have a day. That's kind of what happens.
Well done, Greg.
When you win a big one. He made a 70 footer from the rough. We putted from the rough on one hole for par with a shot. That was the roar Steve's group heard from the ninth fairway.
I did. You heard the roars. You're looking around the course trying to figure out where it's just
celebrating.
Like, yeah.
Greg just had a day and I'm sitting there like, I can get us, it's a scramble. I can get us out there. I can get us near the green and we're getting a shot here. Like, that's kind of, it's to the point where the shot holes, I was like, let's use your drive, Greg. Let's get this out of the way. Cause I'm going to make it up. Well. I'm going to knock a hybrid back out there and we'll make our bogey for four or whatever. So definitely unfair, but it is the classic case of the team that lost cries about the handicap system.
Fair. And last year, same thing, but to me, the difference is like Will Fullerton, captain of the young team, instead of, he saw the problem. The way he's addressing it is exploiting it for his own advantage. Instead of like, hey guys, there's an issue with the handicap system. Maybe we should fix it. Instead, he said, no, actually, let me exploit this. This is just a true millennial. Instead of doing the right thing, they just like, purely use it to their advantage. They outsmart the system. So,
I mean, he did outsmart the system, but you're right, Steve, because he knew that he was outsmarting the system. He could have pointed it out for the good of everybody. Yeah. But again, and then it goes back to Sam. Sam could have also realized this was happening. There was multiple clarifications. Are we using this 80%? Sam then thought we weren't, but then Will said, well, that's how I put my teams together. They switched back to it at the last minute, which was a little shady, except for the fact that, Will did base his teams on that. So,
sources saying that there was like a bit of a yelling match between the two captains at the end of the night. I don't know where I heard that, but I was pretty surprised to hear that.
Which captains?
The captains.
Sam and Will?
Wow.
Sources say.
Maybe. Sources say. Wow. Well, if sources say it, it's got to be true. So
breaking.
Anyway, Steve and CP had built up Mountain Ridge. It's a fantastic venue. I just wish I could get back, hint, hint, in, to see it in its full.
Unpunched.
They would love to have us.
Rescue up, sun shining.
Right. Some sunshine, with the leaves on it, so we couldn't see all the surrounding areas.
That might have been colder, guys, than our past Sites Cup.
The last few holes were 100%.
I agree because of the wind.
No sun. The wind
never let up. And the sun started to go down. Because we started a little later too.
Yeah.
And it started by 3 o'clock. It was like the sun was going down and the wind never gave up.
33 degrees with no sun and like 20 mile hour winds.
Yeah.
Between that day and I went to the Giants game Sunday, the amount of times.
Oh my God. Dude, how are you not sick?
It was said, if this wind just dies down, it's a beautiful day. Yeah. Had to be a million times.
We all say it, but it is true.
It's 100% true.
If it's high 30s even, but it's sunny and there's no wind,
it's perfect.
You're okay. But if it's even high 40s and there's a lot of wind, you're freezing all of a sudden. So that's science, as I said.
By the way, Mountain Ridge was the original New Jersey golf is better than New York troll tweet from yours truly. That was the one
that's when you said it
started it all.
That's right.
That beautiful 18th hole coming up the hill with the fescue up. It was hard to argue in that moment that Steve and I were there.
Well, it's an amazing course. I mean, Steve, you have it way up there. I know it. I just saw it was like just outside of our our most recent top 10 in New Jersey, but you have it much higher than that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should say being the guy in charge of the rankings, but my personal ranking, it has nothing to do with our rankings. It's in my top three favorite in New Jersey. It's that good.
Better than Wingfoot.
Wow. That doesn't have to happen to be in New Jersey. So,
right.
I'm just saying, is it better than Wingfoot? In your opinion?
I don't have to answer that question.
Wow.
That's a separate podcast.
On the spot.
I don't think it's better than Wingfoot, by the way. But
yeah,
so Quaker, Wingfoot, Mountain Ridge. If you were to rank those three,
courses, yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
Matt, it's a strong course. Again, I got to see it in its full glory. But yeah. Thanks to them for having us there. One of you guys mentioned the roars, and it got me thinking. There were no roars through the pines because there are hardly a lot of trees were cut down there, and there are no leaves on the trees. But it reminded us of Augusta National, which we are going to talk about right now. We've been hearing about these changes potentially coming to the iconic 13th hole for years. I mean, maybe decades, and they are finally happening. Eureka Golf, of course, gets those great overhead shots. They have kind of been following different projects going on in Augusta. Of course, Augusta is very secretive about all this stuff. They won't officially announce anything until like the day before the tournament. Mm-hmm. When they do a little press conference there, but when Fred Ridley does his press conference, but we've seen the pictures. Steve, I'll start with you first because you are our course nerd slash expert. What are your thoughts on it? And give us a little more detail of what it looks like they've done there.
Yeah, so it looks like they've used the land they acquired from Augusta Country Club, which, as you said, Myers, that was like, what, 2014, 2015? I mean, this is a long time coming, and they were talking about it for a while. So I think they're extending the tee box by about 50 yards. It looks like it's way back there. And I think the part that people aren't necessarily talking about on Twitter is the fact that the tee, it looks like it's a little below the level of the ground. So like it actually might play longer than that 50 yards because you're hitting slightly uphill. And if you remember, Eureka also posted pictures while it was being constructed. And again, this is getting nerdy, but they were putting in these pipes in the tee box to help them regulate the temperature of the ground, because I think the ground is lower than the surface. So it'll be harder to maintain the playing surface. So anyway, this is, you know, intending to restore the original intent of the par five, because, you know, the last 5 years or so, it didn't really play as a par five. For most players, it was a fairway wood and an eight iron. And the 13th hole at Augusta had been kind of like the consummate par five in American golf previously. You know, as people watched golf on TV for the first time, it was the Masters, and they saw this dog leg. I mean, it's one of the par fives you think about. And unfortunately, that's just not how it's played. So it's finally back to that. I think, you know, people will have to hit driver. They don't have to, but to go for it in two. Otherwise, you're going to have about 270, 280 if you're hitting fairway wood. So I think it really restores the strategy, the risk reward elements that we want to see in a par five.
CP, any thoughts? I mean, I have my thoughts.
Yeah. I just hope it doesn't like 15 was lengthened, correct? Last year. Not a single eagle on the hole all week.
Right.
Great. It plays tougher, but I don't know. I think the beauty of it was the 15th and the 13th is that, all right, I'm four back. I can still do this, you know, this back right. nine on Sunday or that Saturday move. It shouldn't be, that doesn't mean it should be a driver pitching wedge like it was for some of the biggest hitters, but I hope it just doesn't lose like that momentous occasion
totally
on Sunday. Maybe it'll be even bigger, like Steve's saying, where they're hitting four iron in and it's, you know, a lot can go wrong a lot. And, you know, when they do execute that four iron, it's, you know, now it's a moment in Masters history. But the other thing is, this is, I'm speaking from a gambling perspective of the players I would bet on. There's still a ton of trouble up near that green. If you miss that green, like, it's still hard to get up and down for birdie. Guys are still – Justin Thomas, I know for a fact, betting on him the last few years, has made a seven there multiple times. Mm. Guys blasted through into the woods. I don't even know if you're going to be able to reach the woods now, but the bigger hitters who hit a block will for sure. Also, it's amazing how 50 yards, when you just back up a tee, 50 yards feels like 100 yards. Whereas if you're hitting like a 50-yard chip shot, it seems like a really short shot. I don't know how. It's like a stoner thought. I'm not stoned or anything, but that's just what I'm thinking about.
Big brain takes.
It is just hilarious how we, you view a tee box that's 50 yards back as opposed to like a little 50. But it is Steve said it. It's uphill now. It's a huge, and all of this, 8 years of work for 50 yards seems like crazy, but it is a big, big change.
I think given what's around the green, to your point, CP, that's what really restores the risk reward portion of the par five. And you make a great point about the 15th hole. It was getting ripped on last year because guys actually weren't going for it. They were just laying up. So I don't think you'll necessarily see that here unless you hit a bad tee shot. So, we'll see obviously how it plays. What do you think, Myers?
Yeah, no, you guys are both making great points, and that's true. Like we could see more guys getting into trouble deep, and if you're hitting a longer iron, so that could be exciting when we could see some crazy situations pop up there. I just look from the first time I ever went there. Obviously, that's the place where you kind of wanted to go. I sat up in the grandstands there for many, a few years. That was the spot. You see the guys going for the green. You're right, Steve. Most of them do go, but you still get to see these great shots. I'll never forget. I saw Rory. I think it was his first Masters. He stuck one to like 4 feet back on the back pin, made an eagle. I'm with CP a little more just in that, after what happened with 15 last year, that I hope we don't lose that excitement of, getting to see them play a couple easy par fives in such close proximity can be, fun to watch. So I will say I'm glad it's finally happened because I'm kind of sick of like every year we talk about this and like, are they going to do it? And it's rumors and they're buying pieces of land. And for people who don't know, by the way, when you start to walk back to Amen Corner, you can see Augusta Country Club like holes. I mean, that's how, especially when things aren't, that's how close it's right there. So like they, Augusta Country Club even had to, change up some of their course just to give this land to Augusta. So it's right there. I will also say, Steve, it's weird because obviously fans aren't allowed to cross over to 12 green and to that tee box. So right, you're already like so far removed from the action. And now these guys are going to go even farther back. To CP's point, like it does seem like it's going to be like an attorney. So like you're barely, they're going to be like specs.
You can barely see
there.
Them.
Yeah barely. Right. So you're just going to like wait to see where their drives go. So on that, it's for viewing. I see everybody as making great points here, and for, making the original challenges hold up, it's definitely going to do that more. Guys aren't going to be able to go over the trees. That was never the intention of people. You're not supposed to be able to do that. But from a viewing perspective, with excitement and just being able to see, I just hope it doesn't take something away. That's all. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is, okay. So it gets ripped up every year and they make a ton of birdies and eagles.
So does 2 and 8. I posted that 2 and 8, more eagles, more birdies.
Those
easier
are
holes,
but always the four easiest holes. Yeah.
Of course. I mean, they're the par fives. I mean, but it's still one of the most beloved holes and the most famous and iconic holes, even as it's gotten easier. So that's all. I just, I hope it doesn't lose too much there, but
I think the biggest question is, what will Dude Perfect make from the back tee now when they get a chance to play there?
And Bryson, will Bryson be allowed?
Yeah. Really views.
Yeah. Right.
They sell out arenas. Those guys. I can't. It's
they're
nuts.
On the
my
cover.
My little cousins go.
That's incredible. I just totally miss that wave because, I mean, I've seen some. They do crazy cool stuff, but like, yeah, the fact that they have the hardcore fan to sell out arenas, that's pretty wild.
Like
good for
the
them. And they obviously have some clout to get Augusta National to let them do that. I mean, I think everybody was shocked by that. So, anyway, maybe that was a sign that changes were coming. Steve, you have a word from our sponsors, I believe. Let's kick it to you.
Thanks, Myers. Pumped to talk about the original Cuvana electronic cigar. We just talked about our Sights Cup that we had last week. It was so clutch to have the e-cigar on hand. It was windy. It was cold. Not any sort of weather you would ever want to smoke a regular cigar with. Would have been way too tough to light. You don't have to worry about that with the original Cubana e-cigar. Just simply puff on it. There's, like we've said, ash-free, no smoke, no odor. You don't have to worry about lighting it in really windy conditions. It was the perfect companion to have on the course in those in that cold weather. It's also the perfect companion at any point in terms of convenience. If you're someone who commutes for work, you bring your original Cubana e-cigar with you in the car, on the train, heck, even at the office. Everyone's vaping using a pen these days. Why not go back to the original cigar life? And to have an electronic cigar in your hand, being at the desk and no one really being able to tell at all that you're smoking, you know, my coworkers should expect to see that more. For me in 2023, the original Cubana e-cigar there. Again, we've told you it's affordable. There's different varieties that are nicotine free. There are some with some nicotine. So sort of whatever you're into, there's a version for you. There's 5 packs, 10 packs, 20 packs. The signature Cuban flavor, it really does taste like a really quality Cuban cigar. Anyone who's a cigar aficionado knows you can't really fake that. And Cubana has nailed it with the original Cubana e-cigar. So head to electroniccigar.com. Find out more. Again, that's electroniccigar.com. There's going to be free shipping on your orders, over $100. We got Black Friday coming up. This is prime time holiday shopping. If you have anyone in your life who's a golfer, who's a cigar person at all, this is the perfect gift to introduce to them the e-cigar life, the original Cubana e-cigar. Head to electroniccigar.com now.
All right. We got no golf this week. We get a break, finally, which is nice because, it's, you know, we've been through a lot this year, to be honest. So,
we've been through a lot.
It's been a tough year.
Some scarring experiences.
Ups, downs,
you want to talk about it?
The highs, the lows, the betting, everything else.
Sunday could have been scarring Sunday.
Before we do our NFL picks, we do have to give – someone had to have a victory cigar moment last week at least. Did you? Well, anybody?
The Ohio State cover against Maryland was all world.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that. That's a heck of a cover.
So bet them live, Ohio State, minus 12.5. That was like the beginning of the third quarter at that point. I think they were only up by 3, or they were losing to Maryland by 3. And I was at a party and – with actually a bunch of people rooting for Maryland. So I was the one secretly putting in the bet, like pretending to root with everybody, but also secretly like rooting for my bet. Yeah. Right. I'm typically the person in that situation. I thought the bet was dead. So I was rooting for Maryland with them until the very last play of the game. Little Tua just like gets sacked and like throws the ball up. The Ohio State defender picks it up, runs into the end zone for an easy pick 6. The miracle of all miracle. Covers. So it's nice to win one of those once in a while.
Well, weren't you on the Penn State one though, where Ohio State daggered them at the end? So
was just an onslaught of points. Yeah, that was a bad break in terms of, you know, where did all those points come from? This was pure luck.
Yeah.
Now Penn State backdoored that game. I remember I had them. Steve had the under. I think
I had the under. Yeah. So.
Oh, well, then Penn State back up. Well, I forgot what happened there. But anyway, I know we've all been on the ends of good stuff and bad stuff. CPU,
Steve and I are tied in a season long picks pool. It's getting very, very real these last few weeks.
Wow.
What sucks is that it's a 3 college games, 3 NFL games.
Okay.
After this week, no more college. It's just NFL, and we know how that goes. So things are going to get very, because college is where I make, you know, all my ground in that pool. I'm sure Steve would agree, but
once it gets to
just the final few weeks of NFL, it's where you separate the men from the boys, obviously.
All right. Well, let's give us a rundown. Speaking of season long competitions, CP, how about the rundown for our NFL picks? How'd we do last week?
I somehow won the week with the first push of the year in our pool.
Interesting.
No pushes up until this week. I had the Eagles -6.5. They somehow won, almost lost, did not cover. We all had the Chargers. That was a nice hit. They play the Chiefs tough, so good pick there. And then I had the Cleveland Browns, who backdoor covered a +8 spread for the push. I think they lost 31-23. So I went 1-1-1 to go to 15-17-1. You guys both went 1-2. Steve was on the Steelers and the Giants. Those were losses. Myers was on his Texans and the Broncos. Yeah. So, oh, I just remembered how that ended. Holy crap. That was incredible. I had Devontae in fantasy, so I was kind of celebrating that one. That was,
I would have been first alone in our pool, our season long pool.
Yeah, you had it. You had it. I mean, wow.
So brutal.
Wow. The entire game, the Action Network percentage of Denver covering was like above 60% the entire time. And they somehow
were there.
Brutal. Brutal. So you guys went 1-2. Myers is 17-16 in second, and Steve is 19-14, still clinging to first place. Week 12, Thanksgiving, obviously going to be a very fun one. I'll start here and last. I'm going Jags +4. They play the Ravens at home. Jags have been one of those. I saw their point differential is like better than the Vikings, who are 8-2. They lose every game by one possession. Ravens offense has not been very good. Defense is obviously elite, but I think the Jags slow scoring, keep that one close. +4 Jaguars. I'm going to the Lions +10. I think it's a lot of points. Apparently Buffalo flew home, which
I don't know.
That seems really, really stupid to me. They were in Detroit. They could have stayed there. I don't know if that has any, it's probably a short flight.
Yeah, it wasn't part of the reason why they went there, because they were playing them next.
I couldn't believe I read that this morning, that they flew home and they're flying back tomorrow on Wednesday. I don't know if that affects. It's a short flight, whatever. He wanted them to sleep in their own beds. Seems like a dumb move. I think the Lions are kind of rolling. They're much more talented than people give them credit for. I think the coach is holding them back, unfortunately. I love Dan Campbell, but I don't think McDermott's all that smart either. He had them fly back to Buffalo this week, so he's kind of stupid too. So I'm going to go. I think it's going to be a shootout. Lions will keep it within 10. Right. And then probably dumb. I'm probably walking into a trap, but I'm going Vikings -3. I don't think the Patriots are very good. I think, like, if Joe Flacco played that game last week, the Jets probably win like 17-3. Patriot Belichick's getting too much credit here. I think everyone's overreacting to that really, really bad performance by the Vikings on Sunday. So I think they bounce back Thanksgiving night. It is prime time. I know Kirk Cousins, that's not his strong suit. The whole nation will be watching if they're not asleep from Turkey yet. So I'm walking into the Lions Den on that one. So Vikings, Lions, Jaguars for me. Myers.
All right. I'm going to agree with you on the Lions. I mean, they got to cover the 10 here. That's and again, they're coming off the win over the Giants, which disgraceful performance by the Giants. But yeah. I'm going to take the Lions. I'm with you there. They need to show something on Thanksgiving. Finally, next Thanksgiving game, I'm going to take the Giants, because as embarrassing as that was last week, I just think these Thanksgiving games are weird. I think 9.5 is a lot of points. I don't think Dallas is that good. I mean, they embarrassed Vikings, but you're right. That's just like throwing off, I think, all these lines. So I'm going to take the Giants there. And then I am going to go for another. I'm going all big points here. I'm going back to my Texans.
Oh, my God.
Again, I
can't quit them.
So dumb. I cannot. I was riding them early. I got off them, and they kept going, and now they're just killing me left and right. But getting 13 at Miami, I mean, is Miami really that good? I mean, maybe they are, but I like the Texans with the 13. So yeah, that's three big dogs, two on the road, Giants and Texans, and one at home, the Lions. Those are my three picks.
Boom. Well, we already have three picks on the three Thanksgiving games. So look at us providing people some.
Wow. There we go.
Bets on the Thanksgiving.
Some fade material.
Yeah, well, yeah. Speaking of fade material, that's what I'm doing with both of you guys. We have a double crossfire.
What are we going to do with it?
What
are we going to do with it?
Well, we'll save it for the next
first round leaders.
Yeah, we'll save it for the next. I'll give my pick first.
It's a first round leader bet to be named later. That's what we'll call it.
Yeah, there you go. Buffalo over Detroit.
Favorites
on Thanksgiving on the road since 2004 are 14-6 ATS, or like 24-6. Wow. Something nuts. 18-6. That's it. So
that's because the Lions are so pathetic, though.
They I know. So most of them are against Detroit.
And Dallas fucking embarrasses himself every day.
Dallas is an embarrassment. Yeah. No, but so, it's a great stat. Yeah, it's a good stat.
We'll happily double crossfire against you guys.
I like that.
Build that lead back up. Unfortunately, I was hoping CP would go New England because I'm with him on Minnesota. I think they cover that pretty easily. I agree with everything you said there. And then my third one is going to be the Commandos -4 against Atlanta. I think the defense just playing better with Chase Young back. I think they're kind of a different team with that. And, you know, Heineke's not that bad. So I think -4, they could manage to win that game by a touchdown. I think they're slightly better than a point better than Atlanta. That's what the spread's saying. And I disagree with that. So those are my fours: Commandos, Minnesota, and the Bills.
Ooh. Myers, our boy Russo, I saw some the other day. Yes. Both he and Francesa on their own shows have called them the Washington Commodores this year.
That's amazing.
It's,
like,
it's so almost impossible. It's almost impossible.
Almost impossible. Wow.
Commodore.
That's incredible.
Commodores. Commodores.
Also incredible is the fact that you went to that Giants game and sat through that. And well, I don't know how long you made it, but
just to
be out there in the cold,
it actually worked out. I was going with my cousin Bobby, who Steve knows, and it was just gonna be the two of us. We were gonna whatever get egg sandwiches or something. And then my brother texts me his girlfriend's parents have been going for years. They're Italian. I was like, we gotta crash this tailgate because I knew it was going to be a good tailgate. It exceeded every expectation. I mean, the girlfriend's dad had steak,
chicken,
you know, roasted pepper, mozzarella sandwiches. We had egg sandwich. Like, we had like seven courses. And I literally, my cousin and I look at each other like, we're full. We had a couple beers. We were like, should we just go home?
Yeah, right.
It was like, it's not going to get better. They're going to throw up a dud. We all saw it coming. So we should just go home. And then we went in, and you know, every bad play, we were like looking at each other like, should we go? We ended up leaving in like 5 minutes into the third quarter. It was great. We were home, bang. Yeah. No time.
I mean, it was so cold. How do you even enjoy the tailgate when it's that cold? I mean,
the sun was out for most of the tailgate.
Okay.
I feel like the tailgate is
like
where
three fires going. It was great.
Okay.
I feel like the tailgate is where like you could get away with it when you're sitting in a seat and just stationary.
Exactly.
That's when you get the coldest.
But you know, we were throwing around the football around.
Yeah, you got the fire. You know, you're drinking a bunch. I mean, that's
we walked. They were on like the other side of the stadium. We went and found them. That was like we broke a sweat. Then we started. I mean, it was totally fine. But yeah, once we sat down, it was like
should have went home.
And when you go into the gray dungeon that is the concourse there, it's like 15 degrees colder than it is in your seat. It's out of control. The wind swirls through there. It's the worst stadium I think in the country.
It's pretty bad, and the fact that it costs $1.5 billion is just blows my
really
mind.
Really sad.
One last thing before we wrap up. I think we were meant to do this at the top, but world ranking, guys. We talked about the world ranking points.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Let's just do it because we didn't have a guest, which, by you know, sleepy Thanksgiving week, a little tough. Don't worry, we'll have a guest next week. We've already corralled a couple people.
Yeah.
But no, let's do our world ranking. We mentioned the world ranking. Let's do our top five because we like to do a ranking anyway in the world ranking. Steve, I assume you had a top five. Sure. You were ready to roll with it.
And the context of this is like, obviously with Liv, you know, it's kind of thrown a wrench into your traditional year-end top five. So we're going to come up with our own, see if you agree with it. Let's first set up what the actual top five in the world is currently. So right now, obviously Rory's number one, Scheffler's two, Cam Smith is number three, Patrick Cantlay number four, John Rahm number five. I don't think that's too far off, to be honest. I think Rory, rightfully the number one, had a great year. Obviously didn't win as much, didn't win a major, But we just did a piece today. Joel and Jamie Kennedy on our side put together all the stats. It might have been his best statistical year, just from like strokes game perspective. Obviously, winning is kind of everything. He still won a decent amount. So I think he's rightfully number one, though. And Scotty's rightfully number two. Even aside from the Masters, like he had that insane stretch at the beginning of the year. And he's also kind of backed it up with some consistency, even though he struggled a little like toward the fall season. He still had like a bunch of top tens and stuff. So I think rightfully two. And Cam Smith won the British Open. So, you know, at three, you could even argue that he should be number two, to be honest, but I think I'm fine with him three. I think I would just put John Rahm at four above Cantlay. That'd be the only thing I would do, just because I think Rahm also had like an insanely good statistical year, just didn't get the wins. And Cantlay, you know, had a great year. He did get the win, so that's why he's fourth above Rahm. So that's the only thing I would do differently, Rahm above Cantlay.
I'm going to hop in here and I'm going to change a couple things, because first of all, I think that the world ranking should maybe not go back 2 years. And
right.
So if that were the case, I will actually give Scottie Scheffler the credit for being number one this year. He did win player of the year by vote of his peers. He did win the four times, including the Masters. I'm going to put him number one. I'm going to go with Cameron Smith number two. He beat Rory at the Open.
Yeah.
Now they haven't really played much against since, because he had that weird FedEx Cup situation where we knew he was going to join LIV and he was kind of playing and then he withdrew and whatever. So who knows? He could have made a run at the FedEx Cup and taken away Rory's shine. So I like Scottie Scheffler edging out Smith right now. Then Rory at three, John Rahm clearly at four, and clearly like on the rise after finally winning a couple times late in the year. Albeit on the DP World Tour, not on the PGA Tour. And then at number five, it's tough. You know, I know he didn't win the big events recently, but it's tough for me to not. First of all, I will say at one point, Xander clearly should have been five, and I could put him here. But maybe I'll do a tie for fifth, Xander and Tony Finau.
Tony
Finau.
Yeah, right now.
I mean, right now. Come on. Yeah. Like, he is blazing right now. So that's going to be my top five. I kind of cheated there with Xander and Finau tied at fifth. If I had to pick one, I'll take Tony right now as the tiebreaker. But so what was it? Scheffler, Smith, Rory, Rahm, and Finau, and then Xander.
That's pretty much where I was going. Scheffler, I'm keeping Scheffler one.
Yeah. Okay.
He's just one bad Sunday in East Lake away from kind of just easily being the number one player.
He also almost won the U.S. Open. I mean, he was right there. Yeah.
He was. People do forget about that. He was the one going crazy in the group ahead. I was following Willie Z. Scheffler, I would throw in Cam for the Open win. Rory, like you said, at three, put Rahm at four. And I was going to say Xander. I thought Xander had a really good end of the summer, back to back starts. Top 20 in three of the four majors, so it wasn't like he had a complete disappearing act at the majors this year. So yeah, that would Myers and I are pretty
all right,
lockstep there.
Good stuff.
We need an Ohio State Michigan pick here.
Oh, boom, there you go.
Yeah, what's that spread?
7.5.
Down from 8.5.
Tricky.
I feel like the move, Ohio State, to start off slow. Their last four games, you just take Michigan State first half and then take it to the bank. If so, 7.5, it should be like 4.5. Yeah, it's probably where I'd go. Michigan's defense is very good. I don't think they could score with Ohio State once it gets going, but that's where I'd go. +4.5 first half.
Yeah, I think if they don't have the perfect, and the running back's a little banged up, Corum, unfortunately. This kid's going to have to throw it, this McCarthy, and I don't think he's very good. I haven't seen anything from him that makes me believe he's going to go into Columbus and throw for the win against Stroud, who I guess we assume is a top five pick. So I don't know. It's a tough one, tough spread. I do think Ohio State gets their revenge, though. I'll pick Ohio State in the number, actually.
Okay, so we got Steve taking Michigan first half, CP taking Ohio State game. I'll go Ohio State game two. I don't know. I think last year was kind of a fluke, and bounce back for the Buckeyes at home. And the 7.5 is like one of those. It's suckering you into taking.
Yeah. Well, they're only going to lose by a touchdown.
Right. Right. So yeah, I'll take the Buckeyes as well. But yeah, should be
pray for bone.
Yeah.
Pray for bone.
Yeah. Good luck, Ryan Harrington. Our
anytime you could pick against a Harbaugh is a good time. So yeah,
that's right.
I like where you guys are at.
Yeah. Do a little Jaguars and Buckeyes parlay this
week. Oh, wow. Good idea. Wow. Okay. All right, guys. It was fun again. Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there, including to our friends at Kuvana. Thanks, as always, for listening. Thanks, as always, to our producer, Greg Godfrey. Please subscribe, leave comments wherever you get your podcasts. Check back next week when I promise we'll actually have a guest. See you.
Boom. Word.
Thanks, guys.
All right. See you guys.